Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live. And we have a really, I think, unusual love letters show for you today. It's based on a really terrible, terrible historical moment in American history. And I'm just going to go right to it and tell you what it is. And I'll read you a little something. The forgotten hero of My Lai to be honored after 30 years. Flying low over the village of My Lai in South Vietnam, helicopter pilot Hugh Thompson frantically scanned the ground below. The enemy must be there, he thought. Must be. What else could explain what he had just seen? But the enemy Thompson would confront that day, almost exactly 30 years ago, wore U.S. uniforms. His battle with them haunts him still. The My Lai massacre, which left 500 Vietnamese civilians dead and led to the court-martial of Lieutenant William Calley, stands as one of the darkest moments in American military history. This is the story of a man who obeyed his convictions, who defied his superiors, and who placed his body between the villagers and his fellow soldiers, and who ordered his gunner to fire on American troops if necessary. It is also a story of long-withheld recognition of this bitter brand of heroism, which some blame on a nation's shame. Now, in a minute, we're going to start telling more of this story and how it turned into an exceptional, exceptional love letter from a young boy and from his teacher.
So to whom?
To this forgotten hero. I'm sorry. Thank you so much. Yes, to Hugh Thompson. But I don't want to do any more of it myself. I want to go right to our guest today, Marcia Price, who is an educational therapist. And Marcia, will you just tell this story?
I'd love to.
Thank you.
I work with middle school kids, and typically the kids either are ADD, have attention issues, or are dyslexic, or some sort of learning difference. 2 years ago, I was working with a boy, Clay, who is an eighth grader in an independent school in San Francisco. And he was given an assignment to write a story about what it means to be a man.
Well, before you go into that, will you just let us know why you have this article?
Let's see.
You read it and you were horrified.
Yeah. I read about Hugh Thompson in March of 1998, and I remember the story growing up because I was probably in my late teens when it happened.
Tell us what you remember.
I grew up in a college town, so there was a lot of anti-war sentiment and a lot of protest, and then the My Lai massacre happened, and it was just such a sad, sad time for the country, and I think brought to a head how...
It's hard to believe that Americans could do this.
Right. Absolutely.
This wholesale murder and rape and slaughter and...
Yeah. So, the only good thing that, as far as I could see, had come out of it was that I think it really helped to turn the tide solidly against the war and helped us to finally disengage from it.
So when you found this article...
So when I found this article, I couldn't believe that this man had never been honored or never been given recognition for what he had done. And
quite the opposite, right? He took a lot of
grief for it, and
his own soldiers, the Americans, turned on him, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so when I saw this article that he was going to be finally going to get to some recognition for what he had done, I read the article and I cut it out of the paper just because I thought it was such an inspirational thing. I have two 11-year-old sons. I have twins who are 11, two boys. And I thought that I would cut it out and save it, and thinking that maybe when they were a little bit older, I could share the story with them.
Mm-hmm.
So
what part did you think was inspirational?
I thought it was just so inspirational how hard it must have been to be a soldier and to know that something was wrong, that it was morally wrong.
That your own team was the enemy?
Yeah. And to be able to stand up and say, wait a minute, stop it. And I think that takes such moral courage. And I think that in a day-to-day life, I think that there are things that take moral courage. And when I saw this, I thought, I wanted to share this with my kids so that if they're confronted with something that would take moral courage, they would
have
a role model that they could say, oh, remember Hugh Thompson and what he did. Something as simple, actually, as... I heard my son was with a couple of other boys, and he told me that one of the boys shoplifted. And we talked about, you know, how that takes courage to say, no, that's not a, it's not okay to do that. Mm-hmm. And I thought about this article again this weekend when this happened with my son, and because it's hard when you're with friends or. Mm-hmm.
And how do you train your children if not for role models that you hold before them?
Exactly. Exactly. So no matter whether you were, well, I don't think very many people were for the war, but whether you were for it or against it, I think this man is such a hero for doing what he thought was right.
Whether you were for or against that war, this was unconscionable.
Exactly.
This
Precisely.
Was just murder within. So.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my. Okay, so... So you cut the article out and you kept it, and now, years later, you've got the students.
Right. So I stuffed the article in a folder, and believe it or not, it's been 8 years later, I still have the article and could find it. So I had a student whose name is Clay, an eighth grader, like I said, in an independent school, a really nice boy, and he was given this assignment to write about what it means to be a man. And at the school, since it's... an all-boys school, the articles the kids were going to write about or his ideas tended towards the sports figures and...
I'm sorry. So this was an assignment given by a teacher to a class, but you as the educational therapist were giving him extra help.
Exactly.
I see.
To write the article.
Okay, thank you. Beth.
So he had these ideas about writing about Babe Ruth or some other sports figure, and I thought that was okay, but... I didn't find it very inspirational in terms of what it meant to be a man. And so I thought about this article, and I said, Clay, let me see if I can pull out this article. Let me see if I can find an article that I've been saving for years. And I went to my file cabinet, and I pulled out the article, and I said, let's read this together. So we read the article together, and Clay was astounded by it. He was astounded that this could happen.
What did he say? What were the things he...
He thought this man was incredibly brave and courageous. I mean, just very courageous and was impressed with the story. And, of course, this happened before he was born.
Yeah.
So, but it's about the Vietnam War, and he had certainly heard about that and heard about the protests. And
so it's... I'm wondering, was it comforting for him? I guess it would be for anybody, really, to know that you have permission to stand up even against your own if you see evil in it.
Yeah.
Even if they are following official orders, if it's wrong, you can stand against it.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. And I reading it again, I think it was after Abu Ghraib or maybe around mm-hmm. the time that Abu Ghraib had happened, mm-hmm. and it brought out again this feeling of absolute shame to be an American that something like this could happen under the guise of war.
Right. We don't see ourselves as being the kind of people who do that.
Right. So it almost, reading it again at that point, it almost made it was almost like it was happening again. Here's another incident that's very similar, only this time nobody stood up and said, stop, this is wrong.
Yes.
So Clay was sufficiently impressed with this man and decided to write his paper on Hugh Thompson. And so he did. He wrote his paper.
Now, you wrote a letter, though, also. Was yeah. that after the essay or before? What's the time sequence?
Okay, so after Clay had written his paper on Hugh Thompson, I started thinking about how great it was that this man had made this impression on this boy. And rather than write about Babe Ruth, and Babe was great, but not really what I would consider, you know, inspirational as a man so much, maybe as a sports figure, I just sat down and I thought, wow, this is such a great thing that this man, you know, how many years ago, it was 30 years before he had, 30 years prior to this, had made an impression on a kid who's an eighth grader in San Francisco all these years later.
Yes.
And I thought, I have to write him a letter and just tell him how great I think he is.
Oh, I'll just jump in. Thank you, Janet. And remind our listeners that this is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time. Invite you to join us.
So, thank you. I want to ask you, I have this letter here that you wrote because you let me look at it. Would you just read what you wrote? And how did you find him? And
thank God for the internet.
Okay.
I was able. I Googled Hugh Thompson, and I found that he was living in Lafayette, Louisiana,
uh-huh.
And I found where he worked on the internet, and so I sent him a letter to his office. And
Yes, I would like you just to read what you wrote to him. And by the way, you know, we talk so often, Teresa and I do, about what is a love letter. And we have not hit the end of what qualifies yet. And here's just another beautiful example of just appreciation and gratitude for heroism. Sent, I certainly would call that a love letter. I mean, what you felt for him was what?
Love and appreciation.
Yeah, okay.
So. And I have to say, every time I read this letter, and I haven't read it too many times since it happened, but when I do go back and I've told people the story, mm-hmm. it does bring tears to my eyes. It just, because he was such a, I consider this man to be such a hero, and it makes me feel good.
And knowing that if there were more like that, the world would be in a far better way.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I wrote the letter December 13th, 2005. Dear Mr. Thompson, I read an article written by, and I don't know the name here, Sangjar, of the Associated Press in 1998 regarding your courageous behavior at My Lai. The article reported that you were finally being honored 30 years late. I was so touched by your courage, I saved the article. Today, I'm working with an eighth grade student. He has to write a story about what it means to be a man. He was considering writing about a sports figure when I remembered the article I had seen several years ago. I pulled it out, and we read the article. He is writing his paper based on your bravery and courage. Mr. Thompson, it is a person like you who makes me proud to be an American. Your great moral character is indeed a role model for all of us. Sincerely, Marcia Price, educational therapist.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And here's something really wonderful, and I guess unexpected in both ways. Do you want to read the response you got? And then we have something to talk about in terms of why you still have a chance.
I got a response back about 3 weeks later on January 4th, and it was addressed to Patricia. I guess my handwriting's kind of bad. But it says, "Hi, I was Hugh Thompson's secretary before he retired. I received your letter at the office. I know this will come as a shock, but Hugh is on life support and not expected to live much longer. This all happened within the last week. I phoned him and told him about your letter. He asked me to read it to him because he wasn't sure when he would have the chance to come to the office to pick it up. It meant a lot to him to hear that his story had a bearing on a young person. Sorry I had to be the bearer of the horrible news of his health. Sincerely, Judy Thoreau."
Yes.
What a great thing.
What a really great thing that you did it in time for him to realize that what he didn't go unnoticed. I mean, what do you... You know, we talk about say what you feel while you still have the chance and how lucky that you said it and it got to him.
Yes, because then I was looking through the paper on three days after I got the response from Judy, I was paging through the newspaper, and there was the obituary of Hugh Thompson, Jr., and it was overwhelming. I mean, just that the sequence of events had happened, and I have to say I was so happy that I had the opportunity to send him this letter before he died.
And let that be an example to all of us, to everyone listening and everyone we know, that if you have something to express and you have something that will make a difference in somebody's life, or even in just your life for having said it, do it. Do it.
Yes.
So I wanted to just say this obituary, it just says a little bit, it quotes him as saying, "These people were looking at me for help, and there was no way I could turn my back on them."
Yeah.
And so I wanted to say also, when you were talking about writing an article, what it means to be a man, there's so many good ways to be a man, of course. And athletic heroes and anybody who's just excellent at what he does is a good example. But you elevated it from just being a man to being a heroic man.
Yeah.
And why not have that be the goal?
Yes.
Would you share with us his essay? Would you read it?
Sure, I'd love to.
Now, this is an eighth grade boy. And here's what he says.
Oh, in just a minute here. Okay, here we go. He wrote this in December. What it takes to be a man. Some may think it takes many characteristics to be a man, but there are three characteristics that you must have to be a man. Good moral values, courage, and wisdom are the three characteristics that are essential. By good moral values, I'm referring to the way one lives his life, living it in a way that is respectful of other people and other things. Courage is a willingness to make good decisions despite what everyone else thinks. Wisdom refers to two things, being able to be courageous and having good moral values, and being able to use them when you need them. Second, the wise man is able to make the best choice in a timely manner. Hugh Thompson demonstrated these characteristics. If you were walking down the street and you saw Hugh Thompson, he would not stand out in the crowd. He is an ordinary guy with an ordinary life, but with an unordinary story. He saved his enemies from his fellow soldiers. On his side were the bad guys, but he was not a bad guy. He was a helicopter pilot in the Vietnam War. It was 1968. He was ordered to fly down over a village to draw out the enemy fire so a second helicopter could destroy the enemy. As he flew over, he saw the Vietnamese women, children, and old men being brutally killed by U.S. soldiers and the dead bodies thrown in a ditch. It took large amounts of courage for Hugh to stand up against the Americans, but that is what he did. He threatened to kill them if they shot any more people. The standoff lasted 15 minutes. I wondered what it must have felt like to be in his shoes. It must have taken so much courage to risk being killed for something he believed was morally wrong. Hugh was obviously raised in a good fashion to know that what was going on in the village was terribly wrong. He did not hesitate for a moment to stop the massacre and prevent more civilian deaths. Hugh Thompson showed a characteristic that a real man has, good moral values. Everyone is faced with issues that require courage, although they may not be life-threatening. But men have to deal with the issues in their lives that can require courage. Everyone might not have done what Hugh did in that village 30 years ago, but everyone can demonstrate the characteristics that Hugh did. Anyone can be a man by having wisdom, courage, and good moral values, and the willingness to stand up for them. And that's it.
Thank you.
What kind of a grade did Clay get on this essay?
I'm sure he got a good grade on it.
Now, this, you're saying you deal with students with learning differences and students who have difficulty. Hearing this, I can't see a difficulty. So why don't you talk about that for a minute? What's the difficulty?
Well, what's the difficulty? It's hard for him to organize his thoughts. So we talked a lot about first, what was he demonstrating that was the characteristics that you thought were that he thought
were
important?
So you helped him put it into this.
Yes,
because it
yes.
seems so well organized.
Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful. And I have another question. Do you have one, Teresa? Okay. You sent the letter to Hugh Thompson, but what about this essay?
You know, unfortunately, I didn't send the essay.
But it's not too late to send it to his family.
Oh, that's such a great idea.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, what a gift for them, even to say, you know, I was recently thinking about all this again. And
that's a great idea.
You could just write another letter that says, you know, the history of why you were teaching this boy.
Oh, I love that idea.
And then... what it meant, I mean, just, and then send it and say, you know, you should have this. His family should have this.
I love that idea.
Okay, so you know where to find him.
Okay,
mm-hmm. And if anybody's interested, you can just Google Nilay and get the Wikipedia history of it. It's really good for those of you who are too young to know what it was about or who might want to just be reminded of some of the details. Yeah. God bless Google.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it behooves all of us to remember those things so we don't repeat them.
Well, we happen to repeat them anyway, which is the horrible part. I mean, I know that that's going against the grain, but all this business, if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. We have a terrible record of repeating it anyway. I don't know what to do about that, but...
Okay. More letters.
Yeah, changing the world one letter at a time and more awareness, yeah.
Well, Janet, you raised an interesting question about how to organize an essay or how do you organize a letter? Say you... haven't written a love letter before, and how do you start?
Well, the way I start is I just make notes. I mean, we've talked about this too, and we do it in our workshop. I just make notes and notes and notes. And it kind of seems obvious when you look over everything. You know, you could have 8 pages of memories and feelings and things that you want to say, and you can kind of see where things clump together. And one really easy good way to do it is to do it chronologically. Start with the earliest things and just work forward.
Thank you. And something that we said here about was in the essay about the extraordinary. The extraordinary in the ordinary. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I find when I start to write a love letter, it seems to me like this was just an ordinary person, someone that I loved, someone that I have known. And what was extraordinary about them? And then when you really start to think about it, it's terrific. It's a gift to yourself.
Yes.
And you can pull that out because every one of us has some extraordinary characteristics.
Well, I'm so glad you're saying that because I've never really met anyone who's just totally ordinary. I've met people who behave in a way that you could just want to scream. You know, behavior can sometimes be just too ordinary for words. But when you start digging and you start looking, people have qualities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I knew a man once years ago, and he was not too interesting, actually, but he was so sweet, and he was so genuinely kind and sweet, and that was really an outstanding quality that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How a person could just be so nice all mm-hmm. the time. There's always something.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just of course, stuck on this, what it takes to be able to do it. And the horror of what happens to men in war. That these are men who have families and have children, and they get there. And what do you think does that? Men in war are just horror. You know, between the fear and the testosterone and the adrenaline, it's like a poison cocktail. That's all. Because how do these men get back? They justify. I was asking Teresa that before. You think they just have to justify for the rest of their lives
what they did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or try to. I guess you justify it. You make up another story about why it happened, and you blame the victim right. So that you don't. So you can live with it.
And why do you think it's 30 years later, you're going to have some thought on that, why do you think it takes 30 years to get honored when the man did something so right away?
Well, it was because it was a shame on America, and we don't like to remember
so
our shameful acts.
So we just
want
to put that stuff under the
right.
carpet.
And yeah. I think it's interesting, in the original article, they were talking about why one of the reasons why it took so long. I don't have...
Here, do you want to just take that
They talk
read it
about...
To us.
Hold on just a minute. It talks about... I'm sorry.
That's all right.
He talks about how there was somebody who really went to bat for him, and... let's see, it says, few Americans ever knew of Thompson's deed until David Egan, a professor emeritus at Clemson University, saw a BBC documentary on My Lai 10 years ago in which Thompson was interviewed. I thought this was a guy that did something that was brave, honorable, and morally correct, Egan says, and I was curious, did he get recognition? I didn't realize he was a forgotten hero. Egan wrote more than 100 letters to Congress and high-ranking government officials. He pressed others to write. Among those who did, Dean Rusk, Secretary of State during the Vietnam War years. I sincerely hope that some action will be taken by the Army to record the courage of Thompson, Rusk wrote to Egan. At the Pentagon, Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Clement lobbied the Army brass, holding up the pilot as a model for officers in training. Still, no recognition came until August 22, 1996, when the Army told Thompson he had been approved for the Soldier's Medal, given to those who risked their lives in situations where an opposing army is not involved.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more came from the Pentagon, Thompson says, until last November, 15 months later. Then he was faxed a copy of the citation. No medal, no ceremony. It's just an incredible
but
thing.
But he was aware that while other people were being given stars, that he was given this as kind of a toss-away?
Right.
Wasn't that...
Yeah.
He wasn't fooled.
No, he wasn't. And it's just an incredible thing that they sent him the citation in the mail.
Yes.
Or a faxed copy,
uh-huh.
even worse than the mail.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
I mean, that he never... Not a ceremony, not recognition for what he did.
Yes. Awful. It says here in his obituary, he was the guy who, by his heroic actions, gave a morality and dignity to the American military effort.
Yes.
Well, I guess if you can say there's one person who was that good, it's got a little dignity.
Yes.
Oh, my. Okay. So I have another question. Where is this Clay now? Are you in touch with him?
Yes, I just ran into his mom the other day, and mm-hmm. He goes to school at another independent high school.
Mm-hmm. So how old is he now?
He is a sophomore in high school, mm-hmm. but I was able to share the letter with him, and which was really a great thing. And he thought that was
to share your letter with him
and the response back, uh-huh. and he thought that was just such an amazing thing.
Oh, good. So then he got some feeling of what it's like to express something.
Yes.
So when you send his essay, would he like to send a little note with it?
I think that's a great idea.
It just never ends, really, how you can... Will you do that?
Yes, I will. Absolutely.
And then let us know.
Yeah. Yes, I think that would be really great.
I mean, the relationships and things that can happen just from the simple envelope showing up on your pile of mail.
Yes.
Okay. So that'd be wonderful if you could write a letter, like bringing the family up to history and why you're sending it now.
Okay.
And then have Clay.
I love that idea.
Me too.
Thank you. This was a tremendous story. Just to remind our listeners that we love to hear from you, we have a website, www.loveletterslive.com. If you send us your wonderful stories or your questions or some response to this story, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Just click Contact Us and send us an email, and we'll respond right away.
And if you have a story to share, if you have something compelling in your life that happened that would lead to love and appreciation in a letter, victories reached, challenges overcome, unexpected blessings, just wonderful, odd stories where you get to see something special and let someone know that they made a difference. That would be just wonderful.
Yeah, great. So thank you again for joining us, Marcia, and for all of our listeners. We hope you'll tune in every week at this time to Love Letters Live. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put your loving thoughts and sentiments into words and send them while you still have the chance.
Stamp them and mail them. And if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, just remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion. And you can see how it snowballs.
Yes. So until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.